Okay, so for those of you in Chutz La'aretz, obviously you can listen to Parsha Shlach that I gave last week. And those of you who are in Eretz Yisrael, so I want to talk about Parsha Korach for a couple minutes. So the very famous Rashi that in the beginning of the Parsha, Rashi says what we know that Korach was wise and he was, he must have been a pretty high level of a tzaddik because his mishpacha was the one that was in charge of carrying the aron. And we know that even a slight flaw in carrying the aron HaKodesh would result in instant death. As we see by David HaMelech, and we see that actually a lot of that family in the Mishkan died. You can look at the numbers in the census, and the numbers of that family that Korach was in diminished tremendously from the first counting to the second counting because there was this very difficult and very high level that you needed to be on. Any slight misstep and you were instantly struck down. And Korach wasn't struck down, right? He was a survivor. So that means that he must have been on a very high level. So Rashi says, what mara pikeach ze? What did this wise man? He was a wise man. What did he see that made him fall into this trap over here of this machlokas? So Rashi says that he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that he was destined to have very, very big tzaddikim as his progeny, namely Shmuel HaNavi, who is compared in the pasuk in Tehillim to Moshe Aaron. We say it every Friday night, and he was Taka, one of the great leaders of our people for all time. Like literally, he's compared to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron are, probably the two names most celebrated as leaders of the people. I'm not talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov before there was a people. I'm talking about in terms of leaders of the people, once there was already a nation. Moshe and Aaron are for sure, the first names that come to mind, and Shmuel is compared to them. So Taka was really amazing and really great, great person. And Korach knew that he was going to have him come from him. He knew that Shmuel was destined to come from his line, and so he said, "What if I'm going to have such great progeny? I'm going to stay quiet." That's how Rashi quotes it. Rashi says, I have such great children coming for me, and I'm going to remain quiet. And then he started the machlokas. So, what exactly was okay? I mean, that's his argument. That's what he made, the argument that he made. But what? So what? Taka was the mistake then? In other words, he must have been great, right? He must have been a great person if he did have such that he can come from him. So where exactly was the mistake? He must have been great, so maybe he was worthy to be the Kohen Gadol, right? It's unclear here, right? What is the problem? What was the? It still doesn't really make so much sense. Like, how did he have such a mistaken conclusion? Where was his logic incorrect? It seems like pretty solid logic. Where was the problem in the logic? Okay, and so I heard from a Rosh Kol over here in Beitar the other day. He said a very nice word. He said, "The problem, Enochanami, your logic is good, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, logic no longer, what we call common sense, no longer necessarily has to play a role." Okay, in the Gemara, will say, "Svara hi lama likra," right? That comes up several times in Shas when you have a halacha which is logical, svarahi, it's logical. And so then you don't need a pasuk to prove it. You don't need a pasuk. It's logical. There's no need for a pasuk. We just had it, I think, in Megillah. The Gemara said, Pshita. I said, it's Pashut. So why do I need a pasuk? No, sorry, it wasn't in Megillah. It was in Pesachim. I was doing somebody else. And so the Gemara played this Pshita. This halacha that the Brisa is telling us over here is Pshita. So why do you need a pasuk? And the Gemara says, Enochanami, the pasuk is just an asmachta. Right? So in other words, when you have logic, a din that's logical, that is strong enough to not to be a din d'oraisa, to even be a din d'oraisa. They say in the name of Rav Chaim, I heard this from Rav Shechter, they say in the name of Rav Chaim Ibrisk, that there's Yud Gimel Midos on the Torah and Drashas, there's 13 Midos that the Torah and Drashas, and they left out one. This is what Rav Chaim said. Rav Chaim said they left out one. What is the one they left out? Svara. Svara is also a Torah, Midos, Torah and Drashas. Now, I mean, I think that was probably tongue-in-cheek. Svara is not a Midah that the Torah and Drashas. You know what I mean? It's not like you are learning out, you're not being medayik and a pasuk using svara. But what he meant to say is that svara is strong enough to create a din d'oraisa, which we know is true, like we just quoted before, right? Svara hilam likra. The Gemara will say, if it's a svara, I don't need a pasuk for it. So svara, when it's a logic, common sense svaras, can even be dine d'oraisa. It's true. It's true. You can create a din d'oraisa based on a svara. But that is only until the pasuk says otherwise. You can have a pasuk, sorry, you can have a svara, and the svara makes sense, and you can say that that's a good svara. But then, if you find a pasuk that contradicts you, then you have to say, okay, yeah, my common sense tells me, logic dictates that this should be the halacha. The halacha should be like X. But the Torah, what can I do? The Tashem said, nah. Tashem said that that's not the halacha. So that's it. There's no more discussion. Once you get the pasuk, there's nothing more to discuss. All right? Like you have it all the time in the Gemara, right? When the Gemara tries to learn something from a Binyan Av, right? A Binyan Av is, on a certain level, it's a form of Svara, right? It's saying, if this or the halacha, we find this halacha by, category X. So the same halacha should apply to everywhere else. And then the Gemara will say, but we know that it's not true because of a pircha. We have a svara to dictate against that. We have a svara to go against it. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but you have the svara. But then if you have a pasuk, then that overcomes the svara. In other words, all the time, whenever you're going to have svara head-to-head battle with a pasuk, the pasuk is going to win because the Torah's logic is dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so then that's going to be the halacha. So Korach's mistake was essentially like this. I have a good logic right here. I'm having a good svara. My svara is that if I'm going to have these tremendous tzaddikim coming for me, it must mean that I am also worthy. I am worthy to be the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, I should come up and argue. I should stand up for what's mine. And I should get up and I should argue. And I should say, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. And what his mistake was is that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, that's it. There is no more discussion after Hashem speaks. And it's the same thing with the other arguments that Korach brings up later on as well. That Korach says, and Rashi brings this down, doesn't say it in the Torah, but Rashi brings down this famous discussion that he had with his followers against Moshe, that if a four-corner garment, that you tie one string of tchelis to the corners, so then that's going to be good enough. So then, of course, what he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, what would be the din if you had a four-corner garment that was made out of tcheles? What would be the din then? Would you still need to tie a string to the corner? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes. And Korach said, oh, that's ridiculous. If you have one string was pottering an entire beged, so if you have the whole beged made out of tcheles, and of course that'll be enough. It doesn't make any logical sense, right? That was his argument. And he said the same thing with the room. If you have a room, all right, a giant palace, and you put on one mezuzah on the entrance, that's enough for the whole room. So if you have a whole room that's full of Sefer Torah, you still need to put a mezuzah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, you still need to put on a mezuzah. So it doesn't make any sense. You have a house full of Sfarim. Of course, that's enough. Why do you need to have an extra little tiny scroll in a mezuzah? Right. So he was using logic, common sense, that to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu he doesn't answer him. Right in the midrash, Moshe doesn't answer him. He says, "Well, that's ridiculous. It should be a kal vachomer that it's good. It doesn't need the tchelis or it doesn't need the mezuzah." Moshe doesn't give an answer because there is no answer. There's no logical answer. That's a logical argument that you're having with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu said it. A Kadosh Baruch Hu said you need to have a mezuzah. That's it. There's nothing to discuss. A Kadosh Baruch Hu said you need to put on a string on that corner. It doesn't matter what you think. Common sense is good as far as it goes. But once you have a pasuk, once a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, obviously, the buck stops there. And that was Korach's mistake. And essentially, in our lives, this is why it's, and we have various levels here, of people who what's called Das Torah. Of how much do we rely on Das Torah? How much do we use Das Torah? And you know, there's what to discuss about that. It's not necessarily the simplest idea, you know, not necessarily whatever. But the point is that very often we come across, you know, things and we say to ourselves, okay, logically this makes sense. This is what I should do. But you know, it pays. It's important to make sure that you go and try to figure out what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu really say about this. What would Hashem say? And that's what is important sometimes to have shaylos. You go to a Rav and you ask him, what is really a Kadosh Baruch Hu say about this? What's really the din here? Because even though we have logical and we have common sense, but you know, we don't know necessarily enough Torah to be able to say. In other words, again, this is really the idea here, which is we can have common sense, and common sense applies to Torah. And every single time we learn a sugya, we use our common sense. We use our common sense to try to understand what the sugya is saying. It has to make sense. Chazal has to make sense. Every Gemara has to make sense. We can't be like, you know, like one kid once said to me that we were learning a sugya, and I had him read the Gemara or read a Rashi. I don't remember what it was. And he read it. And I was like, well, did that make sense what you just said? And he's like, no, but it's Gemara. It's not supposed to make sense. Chas v'shalom, right? Chas v'shalom. Every Gemara has to make sense. Every Rashi has to make sense. It has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, you're not reading it right. Right? So it does need to make sense. But we just have to understand that sometimes the logical rules that apply to the Gemara are not the rules that you use when you learn chemistry. And the rules of chemistry, by the way, are not the same rules that apply to physics. And the rules of physics are not the same rules that apply to biology. Everything has their own logical rules, and not necessarily do they transfer from one section to another. And that's really the lesson we have to learn from here, is that we have our common sense, and common sense is very important, but it's very important to also to have a Rav that you can go to and you can ask a Shaila, you can discuss things with him when it comes to big life decisions, when it comes to Shidduchim, when it comes to even choosing a job, you have choices, and not necessarily should he be making the choice just based on what's going to be the biggest salary. We have to think about other things. We have to take into account where we're going to live, take into account how many hours I'm going to have to be in that office, what is the environment of that office going to be. These things are important. And so I'm just giving one example where not necessarily does our common sense, our logic necessarily dictate to us what we should do, but dictate according to Torah. And we need to remember that the Torah sometimes has its own logic, and we should consult and try to get advice from those that are more averse in Torah than us when it comes to those kinds of decisions. Shkoyach, everybody. I love you all. Miss you all. Hope you have a great Shabbos. And I hopefully will be in touch with you all. See you later.